everybody. Welcome to the Transpose Podcast. I am the fabulous and incredible Robin Allura. With me, as usual, is the Retro Witch herself, Stephanie Bree.
And we are episode 13, and too bad this one's not on a Friday. Dun, dun, dun.
Anybody want to guess what her favorite genre of movie is?
I love slasher films, if you didn't know.
And horror films.
Yes.
I'm picking on her.
Yes, I love horror films. They're awesome.
The way she says the word horror.
It's because I ain't no goddamn Texan.
She makes fun of me being a Texan, and then she butchers the English language.
I Americanized it. I don't Texicanize it. Or however y'all
Texican what is up?
The Texan broke my vocabulary. Oh, it's your turn. Talk, please.
Oh, my God. This show's off to a banging start.
Yay.
Woo. Well, on that note, let me ask once again. Stephanie, how the hell are you?
I'm great. I had an amazing and fun, fantastical weekend, which we all know is code for bullshit, but we won't go into it. And I did actually do something fun this weekend.
Oh,
I did. I watched you watch WrestleMania, and I troll her the whole time.
That's right, folks. For those keeping score, she has ruined both Godzilla and wrestling for me.
I won't tell you what I said, because it broke Robin.
It did. I wanted to throw things.
It was fun, though, because every single match that I was rooting for turned out the exact opposite of how I was rooting.
Well, I mean,
it's like watching the NBA playoffs.
You know, it is WrestleMania, so sometimes they throw us a curveball. And But I'm going to say this. I know this really isn't transgender related. We've talked about that wrestling is an important thing to me, and we'll get into that later. But certain companies, they pretty much are very predictable. And I thought WrestleMania Night 1, those who don't know, this event was such a big event that they actually split it into two nights, a Saturday and a Sunday. And Saturday nights, Night 1, I thought was amazing and fantastic. I thought it was a really good, solid product. Night 2, it was good, but not up to Night 1.
And for those who want her full take, we're going to have to talk her into coming back to the Spider's Lair, where chaos resides, where she can tell us all about it.
And I've always told you, set it up.
Any day.
Any day.
No, but I did have some fun this weekend, but I'm not ready to talk about it.
Okay, good. That's always good. I had a pretty fantastic weekend.
I was
weekend.
Setting you up, but you won't take the hint.
I had a pretty fun and fantastic weekend, and that's not code for bullshit.
No, she legitimately, y'all definitely check out. She's going to tell you what she did. Check this out.
Yeah, so I hit a milestone transition-wise. I wore a dress in public at a big social event for the first time ever.
This gets applause. Give it the applause button.
The applause button?
Yeah.
Where is it? That's right. I went to the wedding of someone who I used to mentor pre-transition, and he and his brother we all joke around calling them my sons. In fact, I was really, when I told them the story of, you know, when I came out to them, the one that just got married, I'm not going to drop their names for their privacy, but he turned to his brother and said, dude, we have two moms now.
Yeah, very modern family.
Very modern family. And I think they meant me and their biological mom.
Of course.
AJ's official title is a stepmom, because that's what AJ said she wanted to be known as, a stepmom.
And it does not mean wicked stepmother, y'all.
No, AJ is not wicked at all. No. But I mean, she does pick on me constantly. But
so do I.
Yes. but they gave me the nickname Mom 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest, y'all, I almost cried.
Mm-hmm.
I was so proud.
And I know she took the pictures down, I believe, but dude, she looked awesome.
I thank you, Steph. I did. I had them up on Twitter for those of you who listen and got to see them. Thank you so much for all the love and support on those. I did have to take them down. And I took them down because there are several groups out there right now, accounts or whatever you want to call them on Twitter, that well, they're not awesome.
Mm-mm.
And they're either objectifying us or harassing the trans community or whatever. And they had put my picture up on one of theirs that was, I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The whole point of that account was masturbation material for perverts. And yeah, your girl ain't that.
No.
I'm above that mess. Mm. But that being the only negative thing to happen this weekend, I am so proud of my air quotes sons, because I mean, I do see them as my sons. They really are. They've grown up to be, both of them, they're twin boys, and they both grew up to be awesome human beings. So kind, so compassionate, so accepting. I am so proud of them. They are successful. And one's an engineer and one's a firefighter. So,
ooh, ladies.
You know, yeah, I'm really happy for both of them. So that was really,
I'll take
good.
Both phone numbers, please. I'm just kidding.
A couple other things. Well, one just got married, so no.
Don't underestimate me. I'm just kidding.
something else, you know, back to the dress. I felt amazing. I really did. I felt amazing, and I felt amazing because it was something I didn't think I could ever do. And it's not that I never thought I could wear a dress because I'm transgender. I never thought I could wear a dress because I'm diabetic. Now, there's probably some people going, wait, what? Just because you have diabetes doesn't mean you can't wear a dress. I'm a type 1 diabetic with an insulin pump. Most dresses do not have the correct access for those of us with a pump, you know? And they just don't think about it. There are far more normal non-diabetics than there are diabetics with pumps. So I never thought I could wear a dress. I also had, when shopping for clothes for this wedding with AJ, I had some dysphoria and a little depression on, I couldn't pull this off, I won't look cute, I won't do everything that I want to accomplish in it. While I still got a ways to go with things like my weight loss, damn, as you put it, Steph, yeah, I rocked that shit. I rocked it. I felt amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody at the wedding treated me amazingly. And there's one more little thing, and I'm going to embarrass AJ if she's listening to this.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I think I've said this on a previous podcast episode where I mentioned that I would love for AJ to go dancing with me. Okay. I'm not, before everybody gets too excited, we didn't actually get to the dance floor because the dance floor was so tiny and there was no room. But y'all, she legit actually offered. That's, to me, that's huge, because she has made up so many, I'm not going to call them excuses, but reasons why she can't, why she won't. And that to me was just massive. So AJ, my love, thank you. You helped me have just the most phenomenal weekend. And that was just Saturday.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to get caught up on night one because obviously wedding. So, I mean, it was a great weekend. We had a great time watching WrestleMania together. You mm-hmm. know, it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, unlike the code that Stephanie put there, yeah, mine was actually very fantastic, and I am so excited.
I wish I could say I had a great weekend. I really do. But you were there.
I was there.
I had a bit of a crisis. It began on Friday, and I think I'm waiting until tomorrow to see if it's over.
I think it is.
I had a little bit of a rough weekend, and I went through a few things, and it was supposed to be a good day because I got my Social Security card. But we're not going to rehash what happened there. We're just going to say it didn't subside what I was feeling.
Yeah.
And as exciting as that should have been, it just didn't faze me. I was having that horrible of a day, and I passed some of that on to Robin, unfortunately.
But we got like through. We always do, that's mm-hmm. what sisters do. Mm-hmm. We rolled with the punches.
Yep.
There was crying.
Mm-hmm.
Say it. There was frustration.
No, you gotta say it. Don't be ashamed.
What?
There was hugging.
There was
your
hugging.
Sister hugged you.
There was hugging.
It was a milestone for both of us, I think, because I don't hug. I'm not a hugger.
No. I'm neither. What, the second person you've ever hugged in your life?
That's not, well, I was going to say that's not family, but you ruined that because you are family.
So.
Oh, well. My mom, two of my sisters, you, and then a girl I went to high school with.
See, yeah, so there's not a lot.
And then my friend during the pandemic.
Yeah, so.
Sonny. Yep, that's about it. I'm not a hugger. But we had a good, we, her and I and some other people, we had some good conversations.
We had great conversations.
And you know, we're gonna talk about where some of this is going because a lot of it for me wasn't just dysphoria. But there was some of it, especially Sunday, I was feeling a lot of dysphoria. And I'll tell you why.
I can tell.
And it was something that really just kind of tripped me because there was other things. I had anxiety from, you know, the bridge incident, which we won't talk about. And some social anxiety disorder from, you know, talking to some people at work, which, you know, if anyone from work listens to this, you know, I'm trying. Y'all know I keep pretty quiet. When I'm out, you guys know when I'm at work, this is not me. I sit in the corner and I just work. Very quiet, very professional. So it's very hard for me to socialize in public, which is why I have to let it all out here.
And talk 1,000 miles a second.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. I love that.
But I had made some... I want to say I did, and I think we're going to talk about this. This is going to be one of our topics. I made some corrections in my behavior this Sunday that helped me relax some of those triggers because they were taking over. I was losing control of my emotions because of it, because dysphoria is a bitch.
Dysphoria is a bitch. Now, why do we keep saying that word? Why are we harping on that? Well, that's very important because that's kind of our first big topic today is dysphoria triggers and how both Stephanie and I deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get a little personal here mm-hmm. and basically share a few of our
mm-hmm.
Our triggers.
I want to tell you right now, one of my healing methods is crying. It's how I heal.
You know what? I can agree. I honestly can totally relate because there are a lot of times that I'm so tied up in knots over the dysphoria that the only thing I can do is go into my bedroom, shut the door, cry. And I mean, when I say a cry, I mean, I'm in there for like 15, 20 minutes crying to the point of dehydration.
Yeah, and you can't sleep on your pillow after a good cry.
Yeah.
You got to flip it over or get another one.
Get another one, you know. And then I'm able to, once I've gotten that taken care of, and then I can have a handle on it. Sometimes with dysphoria, you've got to just let the emotions flow.
Yes. Why don't I'll let you, in your own words, remind everybody who's new to the show, who might not be familiar with the term gender dysphoria, and what it, how it relates to transgender people.
All right, so gender dysphoria, and we use that word dysphoria because that's the medical terminology. It, in a nutshell, is pretty much a kind of a depression, a disconnect in our brain that does lead to depression because when a trans individual say looks in the mirror, we feel like we are gender, I think, what do I use? Gender Y for our new ones. But when we look at the mirror, there's still something. And I don't mean just it only happens when you look in the mirror. There are other ways to do it. But dysphoria occurs when all you can focus on is how much you feel you still appear as gender X while feeling like gender Y. And the problem with that is that leads to depression because a lot of us feel like while we started as X, maybe we will never get to why.
Real quick, I'll give an example. And this is just, it's not logical, people, but I wear a bathing suit in the bathroom when I take a shower. Because if I see the thing that's there that ain't supposed to be there, it causes me anxiety. I don't want to see it. If I put on a bathing suit, I can shower as a woman. If I don't, I'm still a woman, but my brain is like, And so I have to, that is very important to me because that's how I feel feminine when I'm bathing or showering or grooming, if you will, cleansing, whatever.
And that's important because, you know, that's what we do to make ourselves,
that's why I take pills to that's function. Why I take pills to make it stop working because I don't want it.
Well, of course, but we have these triggers that cause that. And Stephanie mentioned anxiety. Well, anxiety is only one thing that can be triggered by this dysphoria. And it goes anywhere from just very mild anxiety and depression, which, let's face it, Steph, you and I don't fall under. We are pretty heavy depression.
Oh, for sure.
To there are individuals that it's so bad for them that a trigger can, like she said, it's not logical, but make the thought that a person needs to disfigure themselves. It makes it seem rational to them. And it's important that we make sure that everybody understands while this is a disconnect in our brain and it is a product of the brain. This is not a mental illness.
No.
It's something that I don't think I've met a trans individual yet that hasn't had to deal with some form of it and get comfortable.
And really, I mean, the only reason this is just me soapbox, whatever you want to call it. The only reason why we have to be legit, we have to be so quote unquote diagnosed by a clinician with this label is because that's what the law and the society and the bureaucracy we live in says. If you could just wake up and say, you know what, I'm trans because I've looked at myself and I know I feel like a woman, but I wasn't born in a woman's body. That's all it should be. It should just be you, be you. There's a lot of stuff that gets in the way.
There is a lot of stuff, and there's also a lot of caveats to that. But there is also a lot of caveats, which we're not going to get into.
No. But there's just so much pressure on women and trans women and trans men, too, to present a certain way. Because you have to, you don't have to pass, but you have to, in your own mind, fit how you feel.
Right. That's the thing. Yeah. The whole, and I want to go on the record here because that whole, do I pass or not? I am guilty of saying that to myself. That's just complete bullshit.
Right.
There is no such thing as pass or not.
No, because there are some very masculine-looking women out there who are women.
And there are some very feminine-looking dudes out there mm-hmm. that are very much dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very, very man, masculine guys.
Go watch, go back and watch Boy Meets World. Sean Hunter's a very pretty boy.
Very much. Very much so.
In that episode, they dressed him up like a girl. You thought that was a, they hired a girl to play that part.
Exactly. I think there is, there's to this particular thing, there are definitely different stages.
Mm-hmm.
And one stage, like, it's one that I know I'm going through. And I want to say something else real quick, kind of just backtrack a hair. The triggers.
Yes.
They can be big things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say 8 times out of 10, they would, when we get over the dysphoria moment and we actually look back at it, what triggered it usually looks pretty, what we would consider insignificant. Not always, but a lot of times there's just, it's just something so tiny.
I wasn't even out yet. I was out to some people, but I went to a very formal event at a job I had. I was a newspaper journalist, and we were at a very formal event. It was a red carpet event, and I was there to photograph VIPs, and I had to be there as reporter, which meant I had to be in a tuxedo, not a suit, a tuxedo,
right?
And that caught. I had to keep going to the bathroom, and I had to go into the stall, and I had to just, you know, wipe away the anxiety, the sweat, the tears, everything, because I was sitting there like, I don't want to be in a tuxedo, because that is the manliest of men attire.
Absolutely.
You cannot get any more man than that. That is, men wear tuxedos. Women can, but there's not any occasions where you normally see a woman wearing a tuxedo. There are countless occasions where men are expected to.
Exactly. It's something that a man is expected to.
I wore my feminine underwear underneath it all because I was like, okay. But it was rough. That was a really rough day. And that was before I was even out. If you try to put me in pants, Robin will tell you that right now. You try to put me in pants, and if they're not legitimately women's pants, I'm like, I don't want them.
She is like seriously legit. You know, that there are times I'm amazed she doesn't have like bedazzled rhinestone pants.
And they would just look cute.
Some stuff that looks cute. But I mean, you want to talk the stereotypical over the top
mm-hmm.
girl clothing. And everybody knows what that is, whether you're
mm-hmm.
trans or cisgendered. You know what that means. Steph's done really good on not going down that road. Going that high. But yeah, I mean, when we first met, all I ever saw you in was a dress. Mm-hmm. I never saw you wear pants. If I saw pants, it was just to cover your ankles because your dress wasn't quite long enough to do it.
It took me a while to get to where I could. I'm not wearing pants today, and I'm wearing a dress that only comes down to my knees, but I was comfortable enough to wear this to work.
Exactly. And
it took me a while to get
there.
That's
a big step.
It was.
So, but I want to talk, you know, for me, and I know for you,
mm-hmm.
and I know for a lot of trans women, we, especially at this time in our transitions, this is probably the hardest time to fight it. And I know you're thinking, well, what the hell? Why? And it's very simple, because of 3 letters. HRT.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying HRT triggers the dysphoria. HRT is where your dominant hormone X
mm-hmm.
is being suppressed, so hormone Y is becoming your dominant. Now, what is that akin to?
We all know.
Puberty.
Uh-huh.
So, trans individuals we all go through a second puberty.
Mm-hmm.
The
it's
big
very
difference,
powerful.
It's extremely powerful. I constantly, when I'm thinking about this and was thinking about this topic, was like, there are so many times that this second puberty, I'm like, why did I want to do this? I didn't even want to do it the first time. And you're kind of reminded, wow, puberty sucked.
Mm-hmm. At least we don't have to go through middle school.
That's true.
Again.
You don't have to do that. But what it does is it makes all of our emotions. And I know it's more common for trans women, but trans men do go through this. I've actually talked to a couple mm-hmm. who've had this issue. The biggest difference I noticed in trans men versus trans women that I've talked to, trans women, we respond with crying.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Trans men, at least the ones I've talked to, they seem to respond with anger.
Where have I seen
Wonder
that before?
Why?
I remember that. Robin actually got to see the angry guy almost come out.
I know.
I was so like ashamed, but at the same time, it was like, you know, before I was on hormones, that was daily.
Now, here's the cool thing about HRT.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to a couple people who've been on HRT for like years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The highs and the lows, those of us starting out feel. There's good news. They kind of level out. They don't completely ever go away, but they become a little easier. Actually, from a couple people's standpoint, they tell me it becomes a lot easier to manage mm-hmm. once those levels get to the proper point.
Right. And I was thinking, like, another thing that I know it triggers Robin. I'll let her share her, but it triggers me too. And the big thing for me is it causes me anxiety when my hair won't do what I want it to do. Because sometimes it'll just look flat and I can see the guy's hair sitting on top of my head. And so a trans friend of mine who is a trans elder, one of the rare few trans elders I actually have in my life, who is, I'm not going to say who it is, but they're in the media business and she's pretty well known. And she told me, wear more hats because it will help with that. It'll help feminize not just your head and hide your hair, but it will reshape your silhouette in a way that makes you look more feminine to other people, even if you don't feel it. And it worked. The first time I bought a hat, it was this cute little crochet knitted
knitted hat.
It was cute and I liked it, and as I wore it, I felt that feminine energy. But then I got this thing, which you can't see, but I always wear it. I don't go anywhere.
Well, maybe, just to interrupt you for a second, maybe somebody should post a photo of her hat. Like, I don't know, somebody else who posted a photo of their sad hat.
Mm-hmm. I'll share a picture of my hat. But it helped. I can't even tell. As soon as I put it on, I felt like Stephanie was that much closer to being real.
I totally understand that.
Now the reason why the hair thing triggers is because we have two things. One, we don't have enough of it where we want it, and we have too much of it where we don't.
Amen.
I mean, I've got hair growing in my nose, and every time I see it, I want to cry.
Well, and that's another thing too, is we have to keep in mind, even cisgendered women have things like nose hair.
I know, but I mean like, it's growing out my nose and then it's growing on my lip and I'm like, I don't need to see all that hair.
I feel you.
But you know, one of the way the hats help with the hair, and things like, you know, makeup and laser and stuff like that can help with the facial hair. Arm hair, you just kind of got to shave. Not much you can, or cover it up.
You can cover it up.
Wear long sleeves, I guess. Right. But those are like, in some ways they're superficial things, mm-hmm. but it can help subside some of the dysphoria. It's not going to make it go away, but it's going to make you feel in the moment feel a little better.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it's not going to go away. Mm-hmm. While trans individuals, gender dysphoria is pretty much exclusive to trans individuals. you know, we're the biggest that feel that. But you got to also remember, cisgendered men and cisgendered women, they constantly judge themselves in the mirror too. So you're always going to find a little bit of something you don't like.
Right.
And we can sit here and we can preach to you all day long, self-love, baby, self-love. But that is sometimes, a lot of times, a little easier said than done. Yeah, Steph, you mentioned the hats. I do have two really huge triggers. And you have watched me have some serious breakdowns on it. And they're two that you just mentioned. The hair on the top of my head and my facial hair. For those of you who don't know, there's going to be a lot of you who do. The best way to describe this, when I looked in the mirror, I had a huge bald spot in the front of my head. I'm not kidding. Okay? Imagine Star Trek The Next Generation. Okay? Imagine a white Klingon. Okay? With the high, in the way back, it's kind of high and poofy. But there's this ginormous bald spot. I didn't even have ridges that I could blame it on. Right there in the front. And let me tell you, that, I hated it so bad. I still hate it. Now, good news. Because of HRT, and I've actually added a booster to it, the minoxidil. But I have actually seen a little more success on the hormone just itself. It's noticeably growing back. And it's growing back rapidly. Enough that it's not as bad of a trigger as I thought it was. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or that it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephanie's right. A hat. I wear hats. You know, I've had some friends in the cosplay community that were like, we could put a wig on you. We'll make you just look fantastic. I even bought a couple of wigs.
I've got wigs too. I won't lie.
And I tried it. And I didn't like it.
I have two wigs, like professional wigs that I got at a wig shop.
Right.
And then I've got two costume wigs that I got at a Walmart around Halloween.
Right.
I've used them, actually three costume wigs, but I've used them both, all I've used them all.
Right.
And you know, wigs are a whole nother beast.
They're a whole nother beast. They can help.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, a big deal is I want my real hair back.
Right.
And at first, when I first started my transitioning, and even the, you know, was it 6, 7? I'm almost to 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
That long ago when I started HRT, you know, I still believed it was possible to get it back. Wigs felt like to me, the reason I don't wear wigs, one, it felt like to me, even though I know it's not, I was giving up on my real hair. Two, the reason I don't like the wigs, they don't feel comfortable on my head. Now, I know there's a lot of people going, well, they don't feel comfortable on a lot of people's. It honestly made me more uncomfortable. And it was like, I'm wearing this set of fake hair that doesn't fit me right. It doesn't look like me. It's not where I'm going. It's not what I want, but I just couldn't do it. And the discomfort was just too much. You know, a lot of wigs are heavy.
Mm-hmm.
They're heavy.
They restrict the air to your brain.
They do. They really do.
They make you sweat and it pinches certain wigs.
And some do. But that's okay. The other big deal has been my facial hair. I have not been quiet about it. If you follow me on social media, you know I am so, so desperate to get electrolysis. Unfortunately for me, the electrolysis is just a little out of the price range right now because we don't have enough listeners yet to get sponsorships. Do you see where I'm going with that?
Shame.
I know, I shameless plugged it.
No, shame on y'all for not helping us.
That's right. Get more people. Sorry.
Yes, please. No, no, another one for me is my feet. I got big old dude feet, and I hate it. I got like Bigfoot feet almost. Not gigantic, but they're ugly. And I paint my toenails because that's like, okay, helps a little bit. And I shave the hair off, get the hair off. That helps a little bit. That's one of the reasons why I'm so into the boots, because the boots, especially the feminine boots, they feel more, okay, they take away from my foot.
Yeah.
Whereas,
because
I wear pointier boots. They hurt, but I need that. And I'm willing to put up with the pain. Robin's always scolding me. I'm willing to put up with the pain because it's just one of those things that it triggers me. I have one pair of girl, what would we say, sneakers? They're not really sneakers.
Sneakers, tennis shoes, however you want. Remember, we're in Texas, you know.
They're athletic shoes-ish.
I'm a native Texan, so they're tennis shoes.
Yeah, okay, sure. Anyways, but I can wear those when I need to, like if I'm exercising or if we're going to go to the park or go for a good long walk. I even bought these flip-flops recently, which was a big milestone for me because and then you can still see my big old ugly dude feet, but
they're very feminine looking.
They
so.
Are. So I do paint my toenails and, it helps the shoes. That's another thing that helps. Those are the biggest triggers that I have.
Those are pretty big. I think my two are the biggest. It has to do with what I see
helped,
in the mirror.
The earrings helped. And getting that big purse helped, too, because I carried a little purse. But it felt...
See, I got a purse just because I was running out of pockets.
Well, yeah, that too. But when I got that big purse and I started shoving things in it and I threw it over my shoulder,
It feels
right. It helps with it helps with the silhouette.
Yeah.
It's a really weird thing, but it's like when you're walking out in public and you walk by a mirror and you see a woman in the mirror, you feel a little bit better.
Right. Now, one thing I've mentioned before in other episodes was I have what I call a goal pick, and that's where I'm trying to get to. And, I will be 100% honest. Had you asked me 6 months ago if I thought I was going to be able to get to that point, I'd have flat out told you not without a miracle. But I can tell you now that I feel like when I look in that mirror, I'm seeing a lot more of that goal pick and a lot less of the issues that I have. For me, the way I deal with it, for my head, I put on a hat. Mm-hmm. Stephanie gives me all kinds of crap about my hat.
Well...
But I think it's cute. I think it's feminine.
It works for her.
It works for me. I'm the badass in the black hat. Mm-hmm. And I'm the badass because I said I am.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not allowed to argue with her on that point.
No. For my face, my facial hair, the regimen, while I'm still working to finally afford... the electrolysis. In the meantime, what I'm going to have to do is pretty simple. And I just shave the hell out of it. I go through... I think it takes me about an hour to get to the point where I'm comfortable. And I'm doing 3, 4, 5 layers of makeup. I know there's a lot of people that'll tell me less is better because it's not going to highlight what you're trying to hide. Well, yeah, but this shit still sticks out like a sore damn thumb. You know? So, it's how we deal with it. I'm also going to say there's one other way I deal with it.
Okay.
I cry like hell.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I cry like hell.
She'll tell you
right now.
Get
that out of my system.
I don't see Robin cry as much as she sees me cry. I do not contain it very well. But I think that's okay. I think if I drink more water, I'll be okay. I was always like, drink more water. Not because it's like healthy or anything, but girl, you're dehydrated.
You're dehydrated from all, yeah, all this damn crying. You dehydrate yourself.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I think that's all important. You know, it's all very important. So, I think everyone needs to figure out, and it as we say all the time, results are not typical.
Mm-mm.
You know, if you feel dysphoria, especially if you're one of my followers on Twitter or Facebook, or even Instagram.
And I'm not going to say the word, because it may offend some people, and it was probably, like, a bad thing. But I mentioned something to Robin the other day that kind of got her thinking. Because you don't have to look ultra feminine. You can look however you feel like presenting.
Oh, you're going to bring that shit up.
I'm just saying. No.
I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to say it.
Go say it.
Y'all,
make me look bad.
Y'all,
I called her a bad word.
Oh, my God. She told me I look like a butch dyke.
But no, I was using that as an example. I was saying it's okay. You don't have to look like a feminine because that is a thing. And I wasn't trying to be crass. I was just like,
I know.
That's valid if that's what you're going for.
But the point I was making, if you're a follower of mine on social media, I don't know how you are, Steph. I know how I am. If you're going through the dysphoria and you need it, y'all, your girl's right here.
Reach out. We're both accessible.
I'm happy to talk to people. I love to talk to people. If I can help somebody feel a little better about themselves, y'all don't realize how happy that makes me to let you understand that. And that kind of, the reason I bring that up, that brings us up to our next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something else we're going to do is a kind of a brand new segment.
Uh-oh.
So y'all remember Blibbles.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to get into this a little more, but we have another guest.
Yes.
A very special guest and a different type of interview.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to sound a little different than our Blibbles one. Because we did previously record this interview.
Mm-hmm.
But we have an interview now with an author, trans author,
mm-hmm.
Miss Daniela Wolf. So, you know, this is fun.
Mm-hmm.
We love this. And I only mentioned that that we recorded this earlier. Because you're going to notice a difference in the audio from Stephanie because of the situation.
Right.
If it was up to me, I'd love to have these people here with us sitting at...
She wants all to
right,
say
the hell, the gaming table.
Sure.
That's where we record, everybody. I have a 6-foot by 4-foot tabletop table that I built. That is for playing Warhammer on, and that's where we're recording. But I'd love to have them sitting here, but reality is not. So, yeah. So here is our very first spotlight interview.
Yes.
So enjoy. All right, everyone. So now we are going to kind of shift gears here on this episode. We're kind of doing something new here, which I'm calling a spotlight interview. Now, last episode, we had our really good friend Sebastian on, and he jumped in here and he talked a little bit about a topic of importance. Today, we want to do a little bit of a spotlight on someone who is in the community. They are working towards being a positive role model, because we all agree that in the trans community, we need as many of those as possible. And I think our guest today really can be a great role model for us. We have with us a girl like us, like me and you, Steph. She is an author. And I'm going to use the word activist a little bit. So everyone, please welcome Daniela Wolf. Danny, how are you?
Oh, delightful. How are you?
I'm doing great. So first off, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Yes. Thank you. We are very happy to have you.
Yes, we are excited to have you to join our podcast. So, Danny, why don't you start by telling all our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I live in Utah, raised in a Mormon family, 35, just barely almost 6 months into my transition. So I've been obsessed with writing for close to two decades now. Started out in high school. I don't work a particularly exciting job. Unfortunately, writing doesn't pay enough of the bills. So
neither does podcasting. So I feel you there, girl. So you are a author. And yeah. You have written how many books?
Well, there's, I can't even count them all. Most of them are web fiction. The only one that's being sold right now is Battle for Earth. I'm currently writing the sequel Legacy of Earth. I have a story called Virtually Twisted. And then I have my Ragnarok Rising trilogy, which I plan to actually rewrite and sell on Kindle. And those are the, I have a bunch of shorter stories on my website.
All right. So do you prefer writing like the shorter stories, or do you prefer doing like the longer novels?
I like novels. Unfortunately, they take forever to write. Usually the shorter stories are just something I write on a whim.
Right.
The novels just sometimes it's just a little break because, you know, sometimes you live in this world for so long. It's nice to stretch your wings and do something a little different here or there.
Right, right. I can understand that. So you say you are from Utah.
Yeah, I live in Utah.
Okay. What, Northern Utah, Southern Utah?
Davis County, which is Northern Utah.
Northern Utah. Anybody who's listened to the show, I probably mentioned this a couple of times. AJ's from Utah. So, beautiful country up there.
Very yeah. Cool.
So let's talk a little bit about your transitioning. And okay. What are some of the most important, hardships that you faced? You said you're only 6 months in. Now, are you like just 6 months in on HRT or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not fully out yet.
Well, that presents its own challenges, of course.
Yes. I've come out to my mother and my manager at work. My roommates have known since the beginning. I actually moved in because I was looking for someone who was friendly towards our community. Luckily enough, I found someone. The biggest challenge has just been working past all my anxiety, finding the strength to take that next step, especially with my mother. That was unbelievably hard to tell her.
Right.
Still trying to come to grips with it.
Are you finding that you have a pretty positive circle of support, or is it kind of mixed?
So far, mostly positive. My mother, her reaction was a little hostile at first. It's better now. It's still not great. I sent a letter to my parents because I feel Like, I'm better with the written word than the spoken word.
Right.
And I didn't want a confrontation. Or after I sent the letter, my mother called me and we talked for 2.5 hours. And it was pretty confrontational. About an hour later, after I got off, she called me back and apologized, which is pretty big in even for her in general, but she's still coming to grips with it. She still doesn't understand it. She's a baby boomer, so.
Right, right.
Generation really wasn't really accepting of those things, so.
Right, yeah, that does seem to be a pretty common thing in the baby boomer generation anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, has there been now I'm from Texas. Okay. So we have our own series of challenges.
I'm sure.
As far as legislature and things like that, that make transitioning a little harder. Do you find that's something that you run into a lot there in Utah?
I haven't run into really any legislation that's hurt me directly. There have been, you know, Utah's been one of the states pushing for like anti-children transitioning bills and the usual athletic ones. The governor actually vetoed one targeting trans children after speaking to some trans children. So that was pretty positive thing. And he's a very conservative Mormon, so it was a little shocking. Utah surprisingly actually has state level protections that employers and landlords cannot. I'm sorry, I'm having a brain fart. Employers, they cannot discriminate against trans folk. So I'm lucky. It's a little odd. There was an advocacy group here that pushed for it, and they actually got the Mormon Church involved, of all things, and got the Mormon Church, who is deeply anti-trans, to back this bill, and it passed because of that.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good. So,
I have a question for Danielle. Are we saying Danny? Okay. My question then is, you said you grew up in you're living in Utah and you're not fully out, but you are in your writing. You're writing as a woman. How has that been? What has that been like presumably living as a man in some spaces, but writing as a woman, you have this professional piece of you that is out there. What's that been like?
It feels like I'm living a double life, honestly. It's very frustrating not being out in my personal life. Especially, you know, at work, where I feel like I wear a mask when I'm not at home, basically. It's I'm very guarded, it's almost like I'm two different people.
Do you think being trans made it harder for you, or what is it a factor in getting your work published?
Well, it's on Amazon, so it's not really a factor that much. Their Doppler Press is kind of the publishing arm of a website that's kind of ran by trans folk, Big Closet Top Shelf. They publish stories dealing with gender and gender transformations and whatnot. So I was able to go through them and have them help me get it onto Amazon Kindle.
Okay. So you've got a publisher that works with you that's exclusively transgender, or that's just something that they happen to cater a little more to is the trans community.
They cater more to okay. that.
Okay. So, well, that's always important, you know, because yeah. I'm sure there are other writers out there who are like us. And, you know, I feel like some traditional publishers would probably be, I don't want to use the word squeamish, but they'd be a little cautious about publishing works by trans individuals, though I don't understand why anybody wouldn't, with being trans being such an important thing and a big topic right now. It'd be great to show positivity and that, hey, you know, trans people are just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk
well,
a little bit.
Where we're happier.
exactly. So let's talk a little bit actually about the book that you've got out there. And my question is, what really inspired you to write? Now you're a sci-fi genre writer, correct?
Sci-fi and fantasy. Okay. Fantasy was kind of my initial obsession. I branched out to sci-fi.
Okay. What were some of your influences?
Well, hands down, the biggest influence was Terry Brooks and L. Stones of Shannara.
Mm.
That book really was the book that made me want to pen my own stories.
Okay. Good.
I love his books, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm gonna prove right now I'm a little bit of a troglodyte and say I haven't read any of them.
If you haven't, do not. I highly recommend skipping Sword of Shannara. It draws pretty heavily from Lord of the Rings, but Elfstones really sets the series apart.
The one I read was Wish Song. Oh, I loved it.
Wish Song is amazing.
Do you find that you tend to go more towards the fantasy writing, or are you starting to feel a little more like the sci-fi or even just branching out from there?
Well, I'm mostly interested in, I like variety. So it's not so much that I want to focus on either one. I mean, I don't, there are some genres that I don't really have interest in, romance, mystery, you know, most of them. I'm a nerd and I write what interests me. And it's either sci-fi or fantasy. I don't really go for the hard sci-fi stuff. I like character-driven and plot-driven stories. I find with hard sci-fi, it tends to focus more on mechanisms, and it bores me. I like
the
of characters.
Okay. Your writing, do you ever, in any of your writing, do you ever tackle any sort of transgender issue or anything, or even if it's just a slight mention?
Well, Battle for Earth, I wrote as an egg. It does have a character getting transformed into a woman, and in retrospect, a lot of it seems very revealing, but Legacy of Earth kind of tackles. And I actually started writing it when I was an egg, and I picked this a theme that is particularly relevant to trans folk, it'd be a massive spoiler to say what it is, but.
Well, don't spoil your book. Well, I mean, everybody, we want everybody to go read it.
But yes, it does deal more directly with trans folk and stuff like that. My story, Virtually Twisted, which is set in like a shared story universe, I kind of feel like it's an allegory for like the trans journey. It's you have like a person who's rejected for being different and they get transformed into a girl. I did a lot of that when I was an egg. And they get rejected by their whole town, even their mother, and end up finding their father. And it just very allegorical towards like the trans experience. I feel there's a lot of emotion that went into the, I there's actually two different versions. The first one was bloody awful. It was I was in my early 20s. I didn't put near enough effort into it, and I rewrote it a number of years back, and it's much better.
Okay. All right. Do you find that there's always in any of your works at least one character that when you go back and you read it, you go, damn it, I just put myself in here?
There, I put elements of myself into all my stories. There's a story I wrote called Hunger Pains. The protagonist is basically myself in my late teens, very angry, very sarcastic person.
Okay. All right. So as a transgender author, what advice would you give to any other transgender individuals who are thinking about becoming a published author?
Just work at it, set goals, find what works for you, listen to, read books, read a lot. That's one of the big things. I often feel like I don't have time to read, so what I often do is I have periods at work where I can listen. I usually have to have my hands free, but I listen to audiobooks at work. It's slow going, but yeah, just listen, read books, practice writing, read about different writing systems. Honestly, a lot of people will say, well, you have to take notes, and you know what, I hate it. I can't. I am very much what people call a pantser. I actually hate that term, but basically I fly by the seat of my pants when I write. I have a general idea of what I want to accomplish, the basic plot, but I just fill in the gaps as I go.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's how I do everything creative.
Yeah, I know that firsthand.
I don't plan nothing out. I just like, hey, let's go do a thing. And then I'm already like three steps ahead of everyone else who's like, wait. Let's talk first.
It is infuriating to deal with her sometimes. All right. I want to talk a little bit also about a particular website. You have a couple of websites. One is definitely geared towards your creative side and your writing and your art. But I want to talk about one that, when I visited that website, I saw that there was a second website, and I'm going to be honest, I was really impressed. The website is LGBTQIAResources.com. And I got to say, there is a lot of really good stuff on there as far as things like healthcare, links, advocacy groups, and just a ton of other resources. So, Danny, why don't you tell me a little bit about what inspired you to do that?
Well, when I first started transitioning, it was trying to find information. I was relying on Google a lot of it and trying to find friendly websites. And there's so much misinformation, so many sites that some are even well-intentioned, but not particularly helpful. So I just felt like having a central repository where you link to all these resources that are friendly and helpful, that it maybe I could help someone who's early on that doesn't know where to go. And I feel, and I mean, I'm, it's not even just for trans folk. I have plenty of resources for gay, lesbian, bi, the whole community. I try to include them all as much as I can.
Oh, I think you did. Just going through that website, there's so many really good links in that. I know I found myself before this interview clicking on a few just to see some of the information, and it looks like you've really gone through. And I don't want to use the word vetted, but you've really checked these things out and have really weeded out a lot of bad information, or like you said, misinformation.
Uh-huh.
Do you find that doing something like that kind of puts you in that that group of like being an activist? Do you consider yourself a trans activist?
I have a hard time really saying I am. I just feel like I'm trying to help as best I can. Once I'm out, I do feel like I'll get more directly. I feel like I'll get more directly involved, and maybe then I can consider myself an activist. But right now, I'm just trying to help as best I can.
Well, I think the website is really, really good. I kind of cannot wait to see what else you add to it. Because, yeah, we as a community, we definitely need a lot of resources like that. There's very few websites like that particular one. And I just want to say thank you for doing something like that. To everybody listening, we're going to put the link to it pretty much on all our social media that we have, so everybody can find it. And I'm sure that it's something that's just going to keep growing and growing.
Yes,
and be a positive impact.
I add something almost every week, so
awesome.
Sometimes multiple days a week. So.
Okay, awesome. So we are about out of time for this interview. And Danny, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was a delight to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
And if all our listeners out there, you want to connect with her, Danny, why don't you tell us your websites and any social media you would like so that anyone listening can connect.
Yeah, you can find me on daniellawolf.com. And of course, lgbtqiaresources.com. I'm on Twitter, pretty active. You can find me at @Daniella_A_Wolf on Twitter. I also have a Facebook author page, but I'm not so active on that, but you can find me by searching for Daniella A. Wolf. There's also links to both my social medias on my website, so you can find me that way too.
Awesome. Well, Danny, thank you for coming on, and we can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank you.
So thanks for being a positive role model in the trans community.
Well, I try.
You're succeeding, girl. Keep it up.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, and very much thank you for agreeing to do this and doing what you're doing and for all the homework Robin just gave me, apparently.
Yeah, because you need to get up and actually do stuff. Duh.
Hi.
All right. So everyone listening, Daniela Wolf, thank you again for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, that was a pretty good interview. And thank you again to Daniela Wolf for coming on. Again, kind of noticed the difference in the audio. But I think that's something we're going to continue on with the spotlight interviews. I think we can really spotlight some people who are positive role models to our community, because let's face it, we need them.
Mm-hmm.
We need them.
Especially the people who are sweet, like Daniela was.
Oh my God, she's just so sweet.
Uh-huh. Guess what else is sweet? Our top five.
Oh my God, I drew a blank and we just talked about it.
She's not going to be able to tell you what our top five is. Maybe.
I got it.
Compose yourself.
So, whew, I know, right? So yum, our yum. This week's top five.
Sex toys. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, if you want to go there, I can. No. I've got quite the collection.
Okay. It's top five. Say it. Say it.
It's
Robin.
Top five candies.
Yes. Very delicious.
We are both. We do like candy.
I'm a sweet tooth.
I have a sweet tooth too. So
you heard the part where we're diabetics. Duh.
Duh. By the way, I want everybody, before I get a whole bunch of hate mail on Twitter and everything going, why are you eating candy if you're diabetic? I don't know. It's why I'm going blind.
and it may have contributed to some of my insanity.
I know it's contributed to mine. So we're going to jump in. Steph, what's your number five?
My number five candy is Nerds, because they're so delicious and they're like crackly in your mouth and they're just so sweet. I love like really sweet candies, but I also like sour candies. And I think Nerds have a hint of sour in them, if I'm not mistaken.
I think they're a little more tart than
sweet. Yes,
the
word I was looking for. That's the word I was looking for. Yes. I like that because I'm a tart. Okay, probably not. But I could have been.
Oh, you'll get there, girl. You'll get there.
I hope so.
That's, yeah. You know what? I like those.
It has nothing to do with Willy Wonka.
No, it has nothing to do with that. You know, I didn't know for years that those were the same thing. I think I graduated high school before I realized they were Willy Wonka.
Okay, we lost Robin, so go ahead.
My number five is, most of this is going to be chocolate related, but my number five's got to be Kit Kat.
Oh, yeah.
I'll eat that shit hand over fist all day long. You know, it's probably why I'm diabetic, isn't it? No, I don't know. It's something, you know, I'm a chocoholic.
Okay.
I love chocoholic. I love chocolate for a couple of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One, I just like the taste of it. I love chocolate. Number two, and you guys can all look this up, because chocolate does something to your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I seem to slip into that mode anyway. So why not give it another push? You know, so chocolate. Yeah. Kit Kat's my number five. What's your number four?
Well, I put down M&M's, but I want to put a thing out there. I like all of the M&M's except for the regular ones. They're the only ones I don't like. The plain M&M's are exactly that. Plain Jane, boring ass, not for me. But I love the pretzel M&M's. I love the Twizzler M&M's if they would ever get off their fucking asses and make them. I love the peanut butter M&M's. I love peanut M&M's. I love the white chocolate M&M's. Every M&M I've tried, except for the originals, I love. Now, I'm not a fan of chocolate. You're going to find out on here, I'm telling you on my list, there's not a lot of chocolate. M&M's are, they're crunchy, but they're a soft crunchy. And that's what I like about them. There's a lot of crunchy stuff out there that'll break your teeth. And there's a lot of chewy stuff that's got crunchy in it, usually nougat or peanuts. But what I like about M&Ms is they're soft and chewable, but they got a crunch.
Yeah.
And I like that because I like chewing on crunchy things, apparently.
Apparently.
Well, nerds are crunchy.
Well, okay. Nerds are crunchy. Okay. I mean.
Don't ask me how I know.
Oh my God. She softballs them in there like that, folks. And I'm like.
Just put it in my mouth.
Case in point right there. Do I swing? What the hell?
Go for it. What's in the floor?
Oh, this would be a whole different show if I took every shot that you just softballed to me. So my number four, again, it's going to have some chocolate to it.
Of course.
Whoppers.
Oh.
Malted milk balls. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yes.
So the only time I can eat Whoppers mm-hmm. is if I've got a handful of popcorn in my left hand and a handful of Whoppers in my right hand. Chocolate milk.
You know what? They come...
That's the only way I can do it.
A lot of times they come in those, like, milk style containers
mm-hmm.
for me. Just I'll lay on the couch, you just pour it in.
That's how I do it. Throw a mouthful of popcorn.
I got
in.
My own sound bite out of that.
Uh-oh. what
I'll lay on the couch and you just pour it in.
Oh no. Oh
God.
Where are we?
But malted milk balls, Whoppers in particular, they're my favorite. I've tried some other brands. I will say this.
Okay.
There are a couple of companies when I know I went to this old style soda fountain inside a pharmacy that AJ took me to one time.
Ooh.
Up in Utah. It's in Utah. It's not local.
I changed my mind. I don't want to see it.
And they had stuff that was made locally.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a homemade local malted milk ball. And while Whoppers are going to be number one, and I'll always default to that as far as malted milk balls, anything that's locally made, I love too. There are some other brands out there other than Whoppers, and they're just not as good. But anything that's like handmade small companies, they just knock it out of the park. So, number three.
My number three is Mike and Ike because I like chewy and I like the juicy flavors. I like the fruity. I just like to shove a mouthful of Mike and Ike's. More Mike than Ike, I guess.
Stop, I can't
just
take
juicy
it.
And chewy and yummy. Gummy candy. But I like Mike and Ike's. They also got that. They come in. They look like a pill. They remind me of Dr. Mario. So I always pretend I'm playing Dr. Mario when I'm eating a bunch of Mike and Ike's.
Y'all, if we had a camera to see this podcast, I lost my shit on that one. And I'm going to tell you why I lost my shit.
Uh-oh.
So a show I watch is Archer.
Okay.
Okay? It's an animated comedy.
God.
And one of the things he carries around is what he calls Mike and Vikes. It's Vicodins and candy.
Oh, boy.
And then she just mentioned, I started to get back to where I could function. And she says she likes to take Mike and Ike in her mouth. I'm having too much fun. I promise I haven't drunk
anything.
I like
to eat them Italian plumbers, I guess. No, I don't. Leave that one alone.
That's
back it up. Your turn. Number three.
Number three is the worst
uh-oh.
Candy for a diabetic. But oh, hell yes. If you're going to hand me anything and it's just going to, I mean, I may go into a coma, so pretty much have some insulin ready. Peeps.
Ooh.
Sugar covered in sugar.
Ugh. I'm gagging.
Coated in sugar.
Tell. I hate Peeps. Ugh.
Oh.
You know what they are? They're like marshmallows covered in bad dreams.
So if anybody doesn't know what this is, first off, get out from underneath your rock.
No,
number
they're
two,
bad. They're bad. Stay away.
Ugh. Ugh. So awesome.
They're just so... okay,
they're,
your turn.
They're marshmallows.
Turn. Uh-huh.
Solid marshmallow.
Yeah.
That comes in different shapes. Usually you see them. Now, thankfully, they put them out almost year-round. You have hearts for Valentine's Day, shamrocks for St. Patrick's Day. When Easter gets here, the famous Peeps Chick mm-hmm. which is where they get their name. They also do bunnies.
They do anything fun for Halloween.
They do pumpkins.
Okay.
And ghosts.
Okay.
For Christmas, I've seen snowmen and Christmas trees. Okay. And what it is a solid chunk of marshmallow. And it's cut into one of those shapes. And then they coat the thing in granulated sugar. I mean, you can see, it's like the margarita salt of sugar. These are just massive grains of sugar that you can see. They're usually colored, different colors, blues, reds, pinks, whatever, depending upon the season and whatever's needed. But damn, they're good. And then I just discovered this past year, not only can you get Peeps with their delicious marshmallow covered in sugar, now take that and cover it in fucking chocolate.
Uh-oh.
Guess who's going to die?
Have you tried
this girl?
Have you tried Peeps Pepsi yet?
I have not. I'm on the fence because I love Pepsi.
I love Peeps. I'm one of those. If you give me a fruity Pepsi, I might try it.
I'm thinking about trying it, but...
But are they fruity or are they sticky? Because Pepsi's already sticky.
It's going to be more sticky. Yeah. Like I said, I love Pepsi. I love Peeps. And at the same time, I also like living.
Okay.
That might be, you know, if I'm going to die...
Then you're not transing right.
I know.
Because apparently we have short lifespans, y'all.
Well, but that's my number three, Peeps.
Okay.
What's your number two?
Reese's Pieces, the little ones. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I like these, because the peanut butter cups are like, okay, yes, I love the peanut butter, but then they cover it in the chocolate, and I'm like, my mouth is covered in chocolate. I do not like chocolate. It's a taste I just don't want in my system. Ugh. I can't describe it, and I'm going to piss every chocolate lover off if I try. But I like Reese's Pieces because they've got that crunch that the M&Ms have, but they're hollow. They're not mushy. You throw it in there and you just like, it's like eating peanut butter flavored air. You just keep throwing them in your mouth and it's almost like you're not even eating. Yes, you are. They're full of fucking calories, but it tastes like you're not eating. So you can sit and eat them all day long. And that's why I like Reese's Pieces. The little ones that look like the little mini ones that E.T. put down, you know?
The little tiny.
Yeah. Those are so delicious.
Those are good.
Yes.
Those are good.
I love them. But all the other Reese's, take them or leave them, but I love the pieces.
Okay. Cool. I like Reese's Pieces too. And I have to admit, AJ and I, we've destroyed a bag or two of those, and you know, sorry, not sorry. That's so my number two is a variation on my number four.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Y'all, I said how much I like Whoppers.
Uh-huh.
My number two is actually, and I know some people are going to go, well, it's just because of the name of it. No, it ain't.
Mm-hmm.
Robin's Eggs.
Oh, yes. I have a bag of those in my bedroom.
I love those. Uh-huh. Why are they different than Whoppers? Well, imagine a malted milk ball, but instead of covered in chocolate, it's just got a hard candy shell.
It's like an M&M.
It's a lot like an M&M, and I love them. And
I do.
When Easter gets here, I have to stop myself because there's so many places that put them up 10 for 10.
There's only two Easter candies I like. Well, okay, three because the chocolate bunny, but that's, you know, a given. I love sweet tarts, and I love those.
Yes, and I'll I'll lay on the couch and you pour it in.
This is funny because I bought a bag of Robin's eggs and I hid them. Not because I was afraid she was going to see them and want them, but I didn't want to have something called Robin's eggs going into my mouth. I felt that was a little over the top.
AJ told me, and she was joking when we were in the grocery store. She saw it and was like, you just like that because of the name. And then I just kind of looked at her and go, have you eaten these? And she goes, yeah, they're nasty. It's like... Oh, my heart.
never mind.
So with that being said, what is your number one?
Oh, my number one, if you haven't noticed, there's a theme. And my number one is take all of these candies, put them together, and you get my favorite candy. And it's Skittles. because it's literally every single candy I just described rolled up in one delicious flavor. And the great thing about Skittles is there's all kinds of them. They come in every, they come in tropical flavor. They come in just regular fruity, juicy fruity, or whatever they call it. Or they come in just like themes, holiday themes. And they're just delicious. And I just, I can eat a mouthful of Skittles or I can eat them one at a time. I can eat Skittles all day long. And I mean, literally all day long. Now, yeah, I like some of the others, you know, like Starbursts and stuff like that. But Skittles, this is, to me, it's literally take all these other candies, roll them up, and you've got Skittles. And they're just so delicious. They're crunchy, just crunchy enough that you can feel the crunch. But they're chewy, but they're not mushy. And they're sweet, but they're also, you know, they come in different flavors. So sometimes they're, some are sweeter than others.
There, I just, have so many jokes right now about tasting the rainbow.
Yes, and I've got some Irish leprechaun in me, and I did watch the movie the other day on St. Patrick's Day, and she gave me shit for it.
Sweetie, that is not where I was going with that.
Oh, I know. I'm never mind.
Oh, I love this show.
Stay out of my rainbow.
Oh man, so much, so easy. Anyway, so my number one is a chocolate.
Of course.
Of course.
Who's surprised?
Chocoholic. Mm-hmm. My number one candy, and I will never turn it down if anybody offers it to me. Well, unless you're a creepazoid.
Well, now we know how you can get Robin in the back of your van. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I refer back to the previous statement of unless you're a creeper. I love Nestle Crunch.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good
I
one.
I love that one. The crisp, just like, it's like Rice Krispies wrapped in chocolate. How do you not like this?
Or Cocoa Krispies? I'm just kidding.
Not quite Cocoa
no,
Krispies.
No, you're right. I know.
But yeah, you know, it's.
Yeah, it is. It's good.
And it's, oh my God, I love it. See, I can't even talk about it. All I can say is, I love it. I love it. I love it.
After the show, we're going to go to the candy store.
Well, unless my little pump, my Darth Vader device says no.
Oh, yeah.
but that's my number one.
I had some Airheads before the show started.
I feel like an Airhead. But that's my number one.
Nestle Crunch is, I'm going to say this, it's the only chocolate candy bar I can eat. I mean, okay. I like Butterfingers, but that's not really a chocolate bar. That's a...
It's like barely wrapped in chocolate.
Yeah, it's like, well, I feel like it's like dirt that they cover in chocolate. And then you just sort of eat it.
Well, I don't know how to go that far. I mean, I like Butterfingers. They'd be like way lower on my list. But
it's like
it's
like a chocolate chicken stick.
It kind of is. And it's, you know, the chocolate on a Butterfinger, when you compare it to something like Three Musketeers or any of the others that are Twix or... Kit Kats or anything else, on a Butterfinger, the chocolate does seem to be a lot thinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's just not that deep of a layer.
Right.
So it is more you're doing it for the peanut butter.
And the crunch.
And the crunch.
I love the crunch.
So, but yeah, okay. Yeah, no, but yeah, mine is definitely crunch.
But no, that's not on my list. I'm just saying those are the only two chocolate candy bars I can eat.
I got that. So, with that being my number one, and you've given your number one. Do you know what that means?
I know. It means we got 7 more days before you get to hear us again.
I know. That means we've come to the end of another one. I want to thank everybody for listening. This is episode 13. Mm-hmm. And some of our previous episodes, we've talked about a few episodes, haven't been the best. But I'm going to say so far that this whole thing has just been an awesome experience. Yeah, I'm getting a little sappy here, and I don't give a shit. You know, I'm enjoying this, and I hope everybody listening is enjoying it. Steph, I love doing this.
I do, too.
I love doing this. And I said it in a episode, not last episode, maybe the one before it, but I believe it. # world's greatest podcasters right here.
And she's looking at me.
Well, I can't look at myself There's not a mirror.
So you want to remind everyone real quick where they can find us?
Yes, you can find us. You can connect with the show at Transpose Pod on both Facebook and Twitter. We still don't have an Instagram.
Not yet.
Not yet. Got to figure that mess out. You can also reach us at the Transpose, just Transposed Pod at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me on Twitter at Robin Allura.
Yep.
Like we mentioned earlier, if you're one of my followers, you got a dysphoria moment, sweetie, drop your girl a line.
Mm-hmm.
I will be happy to. Love talking to people. I really do. Which is kind of weird because there's a lot of times I don't like people. And Stephanie,
you can find me on Twitter at The Spider's Lair, also the same Instagram. On Facebook, it's at The Spider's Lair blog, because at my website is thespiderslair.com. It is a blog. And also on YouTube, you just got to search The Spider's Lair and you'll find me. I do lots of fun stuff. And one of these weeks in the not too distant future, Robin's going to come on there and we're going to talk about some wrestling and some other nerdy stuff, perhaps.
Yeah, we need to do that.
We need to talk about Star Trek again because she told me she would.
Yes.
And one of these days, I'm going to set the record straight on why she's wrong about episode one.
We'll see. But in the meantime, y'all reach out. I think we're going to just keep this thing going. And we're going to see you all next week. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go shoot some damn photos.